So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you, Lord. We love you on today. From the worship to the word, Lord, just reminding us how much you love us, Lord, how you haven't given up on us, Lord, how you've always been there for us. We thank you and we bless you, Lord. And we ask that you speak to us through your word. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, decaying, and dying world, Lord. Thank you that your word tells us how to think, how to act, how to behave, how to give, how to forgive, how to live, how to love. Your word covers it all, Lord. Thank you so much. Oh, and we need your word more today than ever. My God, help us, Lord. Make it clear, make it plain. Speak to us now, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Did I say Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 1? Okay, so we arrived at Deuteronomy because we're talking about Job. Job pretty much had to go through a wilderness experience. And then he, at the end of his life, well, not even at the end of his life, but at the end of chapter 42, we see how Job lived. God restored the losses. But there's a process that he had to go through, the wilderness, as we might call it. So we're here on 8 and 1 talking about the purpose of the wilderness when God sends us through a wilderness situation. You know, and the wilderness can be a place where you're alone and you're frustrated. You're broken, you're beaten, you're confused. All that is a symbolism and metaphor for the wilderness. You're lost, you're lonely, you've been betrayed, you're just wandering around, you don't know what's going on. It's be a place of dysfunction and depression. But here in chapter 8 and verse 1, it talks about the purpose of the wilderness. So 8 and 1, it says, all the commandments, you should have all underlined. God talks about all his commandments, which means each, every one, all of them. All of them we should do. All of them we have to be careful to observe. And make a note, you have to observe them even when you're in the wilderness. Even when you're experiencing incredible success or you experience incredible loss, God still requires us to live by all his commandments. Amen. Thank you, Sister Yvonne, for that one. Amen. All the commandments which I have commanded you this day shall you observe to do that you may live. Underline live. They are God's commandments. They're not our commandments. They're God's commandments that he's given us so that we can live. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. Don'ts is to protect us from ourselves. God can see what we can't see, it so we could actually live and enjoy the abundant life. They were trying to get into the promised land. God's given us an abundant life to live, but we have to keep his commandments. Amen. They are the parameters. They're the frame. They're the borders that keep us from self-destructing. They also remind us that we are not on God's level. We're not on God's level. God created us. We didn't create God. So God said, I need you to keep these commandments so that you can live and that you can multiply and that you can increase. And then that you can go in and possess. And for them, it was the land. For us, it's the life that he's promised us. The word says Christ has come to give us life and that more abundantly. So the only thing that prevents us is because we've been infected and affected with pride and arrogance, satanic pride and arrogance, because that's what got Satan kicked out, because he wanted to do his own thing. So the pride, the satanic pride and arrogance would tell us that, you know, you can do your own thing, man. You don't have to listen to God. It ain't that serious, man. You do what you, man. You a grown man. You're a grown woman. You earned this. You did this. People are always trying to tell you what to do, and they're not even living right. That's what the satanic pride that we've been infected with will tell us. And God is trying to say, stop right there. I can see what you can't see. I'm trying to protect you. You don't want to go to, you don't want to do that. I'm telling you, trust me, you don't stick to the script. I know Brother Roy is an actor. Sometimes you can go off script, but mainly you stay on script. You can ad lib some lines, but God says, stick to the script. We have to keep the commandments because we're not on his level. The commandments are also in the Hebrew and the Greek, Aramaic, they call them precepts or prescriptions. So God is saying, keep my prescriptions so you can live. We talked about it last week. We'll believe what a doctor says before we believe what God says. Doctors say, take this medicine at this time of day, this time of day. You're going crazy if you skip your dosage. And you miss a dosage. Now you freaked out. And to be real, you guys know that doctors are guessing.
Right.
They'll give you three different medicines before they find the right one. Because they're guessing. They only prescribe medicine. God heals, delivers, and set free. The doctors are guessing. But we'll believe it. God says, keep these prescriptions so you can truly live. All right, let me show you something too, right? God tells us to keep his commandments in the book of Deuteronomy 15 times. 15 times he says, keep the prescriptions, keep the statutes, keep the laws. 15 times. For those of you that's taking notes, all right, I'm going to go through them quickly. You can see my notes afterwards. I'll run a copy of for you in the office if you would like me to. But in Deuteronomy 4:6, then 4:15, then 5:1, 5:32, 6:3, Deuteronomy 6:25, 8:1, where we are now, 11:32, 12:1, 12:32, 16:12, 17:19, 26:16, 28:13, and 32:46, 15 times. If God says something 15 times, you might think it's a little important. You might think it's something I want to do, something I want to look into. Look at what the word says. The word says every matter shall be established by two or three witnesses. So two or three times, two or three people, two or three occurrences, it can be established. God says it 15 times. Okay, let me show you what I'm talking about. Go to Deuteronomy. Who's working? JL, what? JL's working with me. JL, take us to Deuteronomy. This is talking about how every matter is established by two or three witnesses. All right. So as we're going there, those of you taking notes, this is what I'm trying to get across to us today. We serve a God of order, detail, and specifics. If God tells us to do something, we should do it. God is about order. God is about detail. God is about specifics. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan wants you to be out of order. He does not want you to pay attention to detail, and he could care less. Run wild. Do whatever you want to do. 17:6. Deuteronomy 17:6, JL. I'm going to teach from the back a little bit so I can see who's falling asleep this morning and not. But anyway, I can see your head nodding from back here. Okay. 17:6. At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But at the mouth of one witness, he shall not be put. You just can't have one person saying something. God say, no, it don't work like that. Okay. One person ain't going to come and say he did this. We're the other two. We're the other three. All right. So it takes two or three. God repeats this 15 times. JL, let's go to Deuteronomy 19:5. Nineteen and five. Let me make sure I got the right one. No, that's not the right one. Huh. All right. Well, let's go to Matthew 18 and 16. Let's see if that's the right one. Of course it is. 18 and 16, Matthew. Oh, this is an even better one. Let me get there. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 18 and, what did I say? 16. Uh-huh. Just got to spend just a little time with this for y'all. Because we're going to start at 15. Throw up 18 and 15, then we'll get to 16. If you're there, say amen. Moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hear you, you have gained your brother. All right. This is how we settle and we handle disputes within the church. Somebody say amen. But look what he says in 16. But if he will not hear you, then take with you one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Same thing. He quotes Deuteronomy, that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. We're talking order. We're talking detail. We're talking specifics. All right. So if you have something with somebody, you go to them. What's the key word in that sentence? Alone. There you go. You don't pray or gossip them to everybody and then let it go all around the church. And then everybody's looking at each other crazy because you're out of order. We serve a God of detail, order, and specifics. You go alone. God is just too smart. That cuts down on all the drama. You know, it's no fun when you can't gossip and nobody gets involved. And now I don't like him and they don't like him and they don't like him. And look at his mama and look at that. It ain't no fun when it's not all that drama. God eliminates the drama. He said, you go alone. If you're not man or woman enough to go alone, keep your big mouth shut. That's what the script, that's my interpretation of the scripture. So what God is saying, JL, take us to, but look, it gets better. Take us to 1 Timothy 5 and 19. The word is consistent. 1 Timothy 5 and 19. I'm trying to show you the God we serve, order, detail, and specifics. It talks about how to treat elders within the church. Verse 19, against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. This guy's trying to say, just don't go off on what you hear, what somebody said. Well, let's go talk. You know what eliminates a lot of stuff? Oh, okay, let's go talk to him. Oh, no, you know, it's all right. It's I'm good, man. I just wanted to let you know what's. Yeah, I know. I see what your angle is. 2 Corinthians, JL, 13 and 1. 2 Corinthians 13, 1. This is Paul talking. So we heard from Jesus. We heard from Timothy. Now we're hearing from Paul. We heard from Moses. We serve a God of order, detail, and specifics. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13, 1, this is the third time I'm coming to you. God told us 15 times to follow his word so we could live. Paul said, this is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. All right, let's go back to Deuteronomy. Let's take a, Jill, take us to Deuteronomy 4 and 6. I hope you're understanding that God is very clear. God is very detailed and specific. God doesn't leave anything to chance or private interpretation or where I have to guess how to live this thing. It's up to me to decide to make a decision to live for God. We were talking in the in our purpose and purity class with the young men this morning. Makai asked me, will God force us to live for him? That's a great question. God ain't gonna force you to live for him. You got to choose. God didn't create robots. He could have programmed some robots. God will not force you to keep this. God said, this is for your life. Every parent knows that. When we talk to our kids, we almost literally beg them, listen to what I'm saying. We've been there and we've done it. We can see things you can't see. This is for you. Every parent knows that. Every grandparent knows that. We're trying to prevent them from making some of the same mistakes we made. Get caught up in some of the same drama we got caught up in. If you just listen, that's all God is saying. If you just listen, this is so you can have the life that I created for you. So here we are. What did I say? Deuteronomy 4. Did I say 4, 6?
Yes.
Of course, we'll start at 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me that you should do so in the land where you should go to possess it. And for us, we can switch the word land and life. God's taught us how to live. Look at verse 6. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of all nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. God said, this is your wisdom. This is your understanding. All right. I didn't want to share all 15. I just wanted to share two of them. Let me share the first one and the last one. So, JL, take us to Deuteronomy 32 and 46. I would encourage you, look up the others on your own. God is just so incredible. Love the detail of God. What did I say? 32 and 46. Of course, we'll start at 45. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel. And he said unto them, set your hearts, underline hearts. Family, something has your heart this morning. God is saying, set your heart unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. Commanded us to teach our children. We teach them at church. Parents, you got to teach them at home as well. We got to teach our children. They're not just going to learn it. Everything else is trying to teach them these days. Everything else is teaching them these days. If they don't know the word, they're going to get eaten alive when they get out there. At school, at college, everywhere they go, there is someone waiting to eat them alive and give them some false doctrine about God. So thank you, those of you that bring your youth to church to be taught, and the young ones, thank you. But in addition, teach them at home. Have them reading a proverb a day. I was sharing with my daughter, we were talking last week. I told her, you old enough to get up and pray and fast each morning. You got 5 minutes. Get up and pray and fast. Mom and dad's not going to be there when you're in college next year. You got to learn how to fortify yourself now, because it's going to be crazy. You need the wisdom of God to function and to live every day. So we teach our kids. We model for them. God told them back then. But as we'll find out, we're going to get to the wilderness. And I'm kind of taking my time with this, and I promise you we're going to get back to Job and see how it all ended and all fluffy and everything. But I'm telling you, it's a process you have to go through before you get to the promise. It's a way you have to live before you can get to the life. And you just can't start there. Amen. We run into to. We're out in the schools and we run into kids and, hey, man, how did you get here? Man, my first job was washing dishes at a summer camp, making $2 an hour. Everybody want to get there and be an executive. Man, you better learn how to work first. Everybody wants to get to the end of Job, but God is saying it's a life you got to live in between the 42 chapters. All the men say amen, especially those of us that got sons. Our sons, they wanted, but little man, you don't understand. You don't understand. We actually had to work back in the day. We don't sit. We couldn't sit at home and play video games. You better believe that wasn't happening. And in 17 and 18, some of the men in here, they were off to the military. So, man, you just didn't sit around. But you see the finished product and you think, oh, I want it. But you don't understand the process. It's what God is telling us in Deuteronomy. It's a process you have to go through. Look at 40, verse 47. For it is not an empty thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing, through keeping the commandments, you shall prolong your days in the land where you go over to Jordan to possess it. Because of the commandments, you prolong your life. Now let's get to Deuteronomy 8 and 1. And now we find out the purpose of the wilderness. Serve a God of order, detail, and specific. Make a note also, as we're talking about the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word should be established. Remember, there were 12 disciples. Judas, he hung himself, and so he was replaced. I believe Matthew replaced him. And all those 12 stuck with what they saw, the resurrection, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ to death. Their story didn't change. By two or three witnesses, every word should be established. You got 12 right there. That word is established. He resurrected according to the Jewish law, over and above. So here we go. We get to verse 2. And you shall remember, underline remember, all the way which the Lord your God led you these 40 years. So family, just think back. Just remember. Think about your life and remember how God has led us in the wilderness. Even when you didn't want to be led by God. As he's talking to the disciples, he's saying, you got water from a rock. Remember this. Number one, God parted the Red Sea. Don't you remember that? Water came from a rock, and that rock was Christ. You got fed from manna in heaven. You woke up and it was just food on the ground. There was a cloud that led you by day, and there was a fire by night. So he's saying, you got to remember. And sometimes we just have a short memory of what God has done for us. And then we panic while we're in the wilderness. All right, here we go. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. God, why did you lead me into the wilderness? I led you to humble you. Okay, get rid of that satanic pride and arrogance that has infected all of mankind. So I got to take you through a tough time so I can humble you, so you understand who God is. So I want to humble you, and I had to test you. Somebody say amen. Amen. So I got to go. Why you got to test me, God, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep my commandments or not? Because you don't know what you're going to do until you're really under pressure. You don't know what you're made of until you're under pressure. Yes. You don't. Oh, we can talk a good game Sunday morning. I tell you that the best time and the easiest time, come on, Sister Tar, to serve God is Sunday mornings between 9 and 10:30. Praise the Lord. I'm doing fine.
Praise the Lord, Pastor.
Amen. You already know, Brother Roy. But when it gets to Monday and I'm getting tested, see, I don't really know what I'm made of until that test comes. How do you respond to the test? When you get that call, when it's your kid, when it's your job, when it's your spouse. I'll tell you this, married couples, God will send your marriage through the wilderness and fold his hands to see if you're going to stick to the word, if you're going to love your wife like Christ loved the church, if you're going to reverence your husband as Sarah reverenced Abraham. God will just send your marriage. He'll send your kids to the wilderness to see if you're going to continue to train them up the way they should go. And he'll send you through the wilderness to see if you're going to honor and obey your parents. Are you going to do your thing and sneak out the window because they don't want me to have no fun? They old fashioned, they slow and stupid and don't want me to have no fun. I'm out of here. God will send you through the wilderness to see if you can keep his commandments or not. Because I have it written right here. It says, all the wilderness will do is expose. All the wilderness did was expose that you not completely submitted to God. That's all it's do. And here's the other revelation. God will send you through the wilderness just to expose that secret thing that's in your heart. Amen. That you did or didn't know that was there. And then once you acknowledge it, then you confess it, you own it, you forsake it, and then you surrender it to God. God sends us through the woods just to expose stuff. But then look at this. All right, let's really make this plain. All right, because I can imagine that. Obviously, when Job was in the wilderness, he did his best to stay close to God. How about Joseph when he was in prison for something he didn't do, and God showed him a dream, and he's like, really, God, what do I do now? But he stuck to the word. Job stuck to the word. Elijah was hiding in the cave. Hezekiah got word. Let's look at that one really quick. Now I'm going to take you to the, we got time. Let's go to Isaiah. I believe it's Isaiah 38. Let's go to Isaiah 38, verse 1 quickly. What do you do when it's your turn to be in the wilderness? Said Isaiah 38. Yeah. Look at Hezekiah, man. He just finds himself in a situation. What do you do? Verse 38 and 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, thus said the Lord, get your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Come on, Lord, you have to be kidding me. He didn't start cussing and fussing and saying, I've done all this stuff for God and look what God is doing. Look what he did. Verse 2. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. See, the wilderness exposed what's in your heart. He goes, how are you going to say that to me after all I've done? I've preached, I've sacrificed, I've done this. Okay, I'm going to go out and do my thing then, God. If that's what you're going to do, watch what I'm going to do. You don't know what's in your heart until you're exposed through the wilderness. He turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. And look what he said. Remember now, God, I'm begging you. Remember this. I have walked before you in truth with the loyal. It says perfect, but that means a loyal and a complete heart. Look how he's been living his life. He could have flipped the script and said, man, I've done all this. Come on now. Family, don't think that because you're living right, Job already showed that you could be living right and things can still fall apart. Hezekiah gets sick and he's getting ready to die and he's been living right. He's been walking with God. He didn't say, God, why are you doing this to me? He said, look, Lord, just remember, I'm begging you. I'm praying. So when you're in the wilderness, you know you have to pray. You got to submit yourself while you're in the wilderness. Yes. I'm begging you, I've walked with you in truth with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in your sight. Underline good in your sight. Because I could be up here front and doing what's good in y'all's sight. But that's God knows what's really going on. Amen. You can pretend to be doing everything that's good in God's sight. I mean, in people's sight, but it has nothing to do with God. You can be pretending to do everything that's good in the eyes of the people, and it has nothing to do with God, because God looks right at your heart and know that you fronting. Can't be impressed with people's stuff. All you can do is take care of your stuff. Because the wilderness is exposing your heart. He said, God, I've done what's right in your sight. And then he started crying. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Men, it's okay to cry. It's okay to get upset. It's okay to break down. It's okay to pray. Let it all out. Because God sees it all. I will add unto your days 15 years. Oh, God, thank you. How do you respond in the wilderness? How do you respond? God said, I've seen it. He could have flew off the handles. He could have went off the rails. I'm telling you, don't fly off the handles. Don't go off the rails while you're in the wilderness. Let's bring it home. Let's go to Matthew 4:1. We serve a God of order, detail, and specifics. We have to keep his word. He's repeated 15 times that we need to be obedient to his word because it's our life that's on the line. Amen. We're not doing it for God. We're doing it for our life so we don't self-destruct. So we don't get caught up in a bunch of mess that could have been avoided by us just doing what was right in the sight of God. Because people are crazy. You try and do what's right in the sight of people, you're going to go crazy. Yes. So I got to be happy over here. I got to be sad over here. I got to jump through hoops over here. I got to play this game over here. I got to say this over here. I got to cuss over here. I got to be serious over here. I can't do that. I can't do that. That's too much. I'm going to do what's right in the sight of God and let the chips fall where they may. So here we have Jesus Christ. He had to go through the wilderness. So why are you complaining? If Jesus had to go through the wilderness, we're not exempt. I'm complaining about going through the wilderness. Jesus had to go. So you won't be able to tell Jesus, man, you don't know what it was like living in L.A. now. And long in the LBC, you don't know what it was like. Yeah, actually, I did. I went through the wilderness, too. Nobody will be able to stand before God and tell God you don't know what it was like. God, you don't know what it was like to watch somebody die and your love, your mama die. God, you kidding me? I had to watch my son die and get beat. You're trying to tell. When we stand before God, all the excuses are eliminated. Amen. 4:1. Matthew 4:1. If you're there, say amen. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit of God. Sometimes the Spirit of God will lead you into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Come on now. Because what does the wilderness do? It exposes what's in your heart. Amen. So God will lead you there. And this is the second reason why you go. Number one, you're being tested. Okay, then two, you're being tempted. And number three, God wants to see if you're submitted. The wilderness will let you know if you're submitted to God or not. If you surrender to God. When your singleness is in the wilderness and you're being tested, God wants to see what you're going to do. Oh, I'm going to send him by. Oh, I'm going to send her by. And if God is testing you, remember, God tests and Satan tempts. So it's not a sin to be tempted. You looked and you thought now I should do it because no, that's just a temptation. Don't do it. It's not a sin. You don't have to do it. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Oh, all right. So let me share this with you. Look at 3:17. Look at 3:17. Matthew 3:17. So right before he gets tested, it says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. God just gave him the biggest pat on the back you could ever get. God pats him on the back, said, this is my son. I'm so pleased in him. So right after your greatest success, Satan comes to tempt you. You always have to be careful. You always have, oh, God, I'm doing so good for God. Okay, saying like, I got you. Let's see how good. Let me send you right to the wilderness and see what's real. So you can see you think you're really doing good, but let me send you to the wilderness so you can see what's in your heart. Amen. So you can see what's in your heart. So I can expose that thing so you can finally deal with. God, why do I have to go through this again? Because I got to test you again. You failed last time. Why do I attract the same type of men all the time? Because you failed the last time. When you first met him, you should have kicked him to the curb. Right. But you failed the test. Why? This is the same type of woman. Because you failed last time. So I'm going to test you again. So you can see that you got to get your heart right with me. I got to expose that so you can see. That's what's holding you back. Amen. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord is right. And hear what I'm saying. And they wandered for 40 years. Family, we will wander through this life and never get to the life that God has for us because we get comfortable in the wilderness and dysfunction becomes a way of life. They wander for 40 years. And I'm telling you, if it's not next week or the week after, we're going to get to the five things that kept them in the wilderness. They just doing their own thing in the wilderness and they never got to where God wanted them to go. That's the saddest thing that could happen to us. We will just exist, never live the way God wanted us to because we're disobedient and we get comfortable in the wilderness, failing the test every time because we're not submitted 100% to God and we never get to what God has for us. And we're ineffective Christians. And we'll die and we'll go to heaven, but we wasted a whole lot of time down here being ineffective. And you're not going to tell God he didn't know what it was like to be down here. 4:1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Somebody say amen. Amen. And then the tempter. Remember, Satan only has two weapons. He tempts us and then he accuses us. Ain't that something? He's the one that tempted you. Then he accused you. You already looked at it. You already thought about it. You might as well do it. It's a cold game. Stay in the word. See how he operates. You have to know his schemes and his tricks so you can live victoriously. And when the tempter came, he said, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Since you're in the wilderness, you might as well do your own thing. Look where God got you now. You might as well do your own thing. Your marriage is in the wilderness. She tripping. Brother Mick, you might as well do your own thing. Sister Terry, you know he's been tripping a lot. You in the wilderness? You might as well. I'd kick him to the curb if it was me. That's what he's telling Jesus right here. You didn't serve God. You was in heaven. Now you got to put on this flesh. And that word is, if is really since in the Greek. Since you God, go ahead and, he knew who he was. Since you God, go ahead and turn these stones into bread. Since your marriage is in, since your singleness, God, you've been waiting on God to send someone. Man, I wouldn't wait no longer. Man, go on and turn your stones into bread. Go and do your thing. It's funny because we're studying Deuteronomy. You know, the stones is another word for stones, but we're not going to go there, right? Turn your stones into bread in your singleness. Anyway, you got to come to Bible study to get that one. All right. I'm not going to go there. So now you're in the wilderness. What do you do? God said, what did God say? I'm sending you to test you. So you're in the wilderness and Satan says, do your own thing. Who are you going to listen to? How much longer are you going to spend there? How much longer are you going to spend in the wilderness before you submit to God? Jesus answered and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He quotes Deuteronomy 8:3. And it wasn't about the word. It was about he was submitted to God. Because if you're not submitted, make a note. And I'm going to finish with this. And I tell you, when we stop, we'll pick it up. Well, next week is first Sunday, so we'll pick it up on the second Sunday. James 4:7 says, submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you're not submitted, it ain't no sense in resisting. Jesus, if he wasn't submitted to God, he wouldn't have been able to resist right then. Even though he knew the word, because Satan knows the word, too. You'll see if you keep reading. He's going to start quoting scriptures to Jesus. So it's not about knowing the word. You got a lot of people out there who you talk to them about God. Oh, they know the word. Oh, man, this, that, and the other. But are you submitted to God? What you mean by that? Mm-hmm. So don't be impressed with people knowing the word. Be impressed with those that's living a submitted, surrendered, committed life to Christ. And the rest we'll pick up next time. Oh, my goodness. And I got so much more. But let's we're going to close out. Let's close out in prayer. and just corporately, let's just, Lord, we just ask for your forgiveness. Because God, we've all been in the wilderness, or we're in the wilderness. We're just coming out of the wilderness, or we're getting ready to go back into the wilderness. And you're going to expose something else that we got to submit and surrender to you. And we thank you for that, God. Thank you that you know us better than we know ourselves. Thank you, God, for sending us to the wilderness so we can see who we really are. And we confess and forsake. We own it, Lord. And we surrender it to you so that we can truly live the life that you have for us. We're tired of the counterfeit that the world has offered us, Lord. We want to truly live the way that you intended for us to live. So we ask for your forgiveness, Lord. As we haven't stuck to your word, as we kind of got off track and going off the rails while we were in the wilderness, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you've forgiven us already. Because we have Christ in our heart, our past, present, and future sins are forgiven. We just come clean. We acknowledge it, Lord. You exposed what was in our heart. What we was trying to cover up and pretend wasn't there. Thank you for exposing us, Lord. It's between you and us. And we forsake, confess, surrender to you, and submit unto you. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Thank you for saving us from ourselves. Maybe somebody's here and they're saying, Pastor, well, I have to take the first step. I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. That's the first step, because you can't do it outside of Christ. Once Christ comes into your heart, then he can work through you. The first thing you have to do is allow Christ to come in. Surrender your heart and life to Jesus Christ so he can work through you through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of his word. That's you, and you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ. I want to accept Christ today. Elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I've just been off the rails and I just need to rededicate my life. The word says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's what we call rededication. You say, Pastor, I'm already saved, but I just haven't been living like it. I've been out of fellowship with God. That's what we call rededication. I couldn't think of a better day than today to rededicate your life to Christ. And if that's you, that's between you and God. You don't have to raise your hand for that one. That's just in your heart. That's a heart to heart to God. God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I want to do better. I'm going to do better. I'm going to stay connected to you this time, Lord. I promise I will. This time, Lord, I promise I will. God, I'm going to find me a good church home. I'm going to read your word. I'm going to pray. I'm going to study. I'm going to stay in fellowship. I'm going to seek out those that are living right, Lord, to encourage me to live right. That's between you and God. Maybe you're hearing you say, Pastor, I've been visiting, but I haven't made it official, and I want to make this my official church home. From the worship to the word, I just feel I can grow here and learn about God and grow in God. If that's you and you're looking for a church home and you want to unite with us this morning, we're family. Yeah, it says members, but we're really family. If that's you, elevate your hand if you're looking for a church home. Lord, how we thank you, how we bless you for the challenge this morning, Lord, to stay connected to you in the wilderness, to keep your word. You told us 15 times to live right, live according to the word. Even when you're in the wilderness, are you at the top of the mountain in your career, in school, in your business, in your ministry with success? God says, stay connected. It's not about perfection. It is about connection. stay connected. Stop trying to be perfect. Just be connected. Stay connected to God. Stay connected to God's word. Stay connected to God's people. Lord, we accept the challenge. Thank you for your word. We love you for your word, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet. I look forward to seeing some of you tomorrow who can assist with the food program.